Well, a major decision today from the U.S. Supreme Court on prayer in public settings. By a 5-4 vote, the justices ruled that a town in upstate New York did not violate the Constitution by inviting chaplains to deliver prayers before its meetings. That's even if the chaplains and the prayers were almost all Christian. NPR's Carrie Johnson has the story.
Two women, one Jewish, another an atheist, sued the town of Greece, New York, for infringing on their First Amendment rights by featuring prayers at the outset of town meetings. They said town leaders overwhelmingly favored Protestant and Catholic clergy to give those prayers.
Sometimes you don't feel very welcome. I don't feel like I'm welcome at my town government anymore.
Susan Galloway is one of the plaintiffs. She talked with NPR last winter about her case.
My father had to leave Germany because of Hitler. We have to stand up and make sure that our government and religion are separate because we are a diverse country.
The question before the Supreme Court? Whether Greece did enough to respect that diversity or whether the town crossed a line by embracing Christianity and essentially oppressing religious minorities. In a 5-4 ruling, the court's conservatives sided with the town. Writing for the majority, Justice Anthony Kennedy cites the nation's long tradition of prayer to open legislative proceedings. To prove a constitutional violation, Kennedy says, people need to uncover a pattern of prayers that proselytize or denigrate another religion. That wasn't the case in Greece, he says. But dissenters on the court point out that from 1999 to 2010, Greece held 120 town meetings. Only 4 of them featured prayers from non-Christians. Douglas Laycock, a professor at the University of Virginia, represented the plaintiffs.
This is a green light for local majorities to impose their religious practices on their fellow citizens. And, you know, if Greece didn't go too far, it's hard to imagine what town is going too far.
But in Greece, town supervisor Bill Rylick offers a very different take on the ruling.
It's all about freedom of speech, freedom to pray to the God that you believe in without having concerns about censorship.
Rylick says the town will go on praying before its local meetings the same way it has for years. People who don't like it, he says, can simply enjoy a moment of silence.
I don't see how anyone can feel offended by somebody praying, whether it's exactly what they believe or not. They don't have to partake in it if they wish to not.
Rylick adds that the town's open to hearing from chaplains of other faiths, but it won't actively solicit such views. Lawyer Thomas Hungar, who represented the town, says a search for diversity is not required under the Supreme Court analysis.
Towns don't have to sort of ensure an equal time opportunity for multiple different faiths. As long as people have equal opportunities to pray, there's no sort of a percentage requirement that every faith get a certain amount of time.
As for the words in the prayers, the court majority said putting courts and lawmakers in charge of policing language, substituting references to a generic God for references to Jesus, for example, would lead to government censorship. But the plaintiff's attorney, Douglas Laycock, says the U.S. Congress and many state houses already have broad guidelines in place.
But trying to make these prayers more inclusive is not nearly so difficult as the court makes it out to be. Greece made no effort whatever, absolutely none. If they would simply instruct the clergy that they invite, tell them this is a prayer for all the citizens, not just for Christians, it should be broadly interfaith and inclusive, clergy know how to do that.
Thomas Hungar, who represented the town of Greece, says the decision is a resounding reaffirmation of the right to pray and a signal to deter lawsuits elsewhere around the country, where some residents might object to the prayers they hear at public meetings. Carrie Johnson, NPR News, Washington.